Lesson this morning is taken from Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you have been set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you ever been on an elevator and the doors open and people start piling in before you have a chance to get out? It happens occasionally, but normally people don't do that, do they? Because there's sort of this unspoken rule. I've never seen it written anywhere in an elevator or outside of an elevator, but it's this unspoken rule that the people in the elevator leave first and the people waiting then enter the elevator. And it makes sense because if people pile on, the people that are there have got to walk through those people to get out. And I've had to do that every once in a while. People just forget and come in, and then you're standing there, excuse me, trying to get your way out. So it's one of those unspoken rules, but it's pretty widely followed. People do that because it makes sense. It's sort of the logical way to do things. It's not just a matter of etiquette or being polite. It also makes sense that you do that and let the people out. It's interesting that sometimes we need the rules. There's this card game, and the name of the card game is "This Game Has Not Been Play Tested Yet." Now, my wife found that and gave it to Victor for Christmas, and it's a deck of cards, and then there's a companion part to it. Says, "This card game has not been play tested yet either." I think that's the name of it. Anyway, it's two different games. And so you deal out the cards just like you would a regular thing, except the cards, each card tells you as an individual player sort of like the rule for how to play this game. And so you have the rule. And it's very, very wacky things. I sound like I'm doing a commercial, sorry. But it's very, very wacky things. It's like, sit there with your finger on your nose and then count to three. And if you're the only one with finger on your nose, then you win, the game's over. And things like that. So, yeah, it's just totally wacky. And so what you learn is if somebody does something, if somebody says birds, 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 then everybody says birds, 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 because you think. But then the other rule would be, if they say birds with birds, they've lost, you won. You know, it's always changing, so you never really know what's going on. And you're also trying to play this sort of like game as you're doing it. So we dealt out the cards, and I started playing. My only trouble is that I'm such a rule follower. I mean, it's really sad, but I'm such a rule follower that then I was carefully reading the new rules. And the rules they write are sort of wacky. So you have to, if you just read it real quick, you just go, oh, and whatever. But I was reading it, trying to comprehend. And Renee was like, no, 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 just do something. You know, don't worry about it. Don't fret over it. She kept saying that to me over and over and over and over. And I kept ignoring her because to me, I have instructions. I'm supposed to follow these instructions. I have to understand them so that I can do them just right, which was not the point of the whole game. Sometimes we get caught in rule following and what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do, and it becomes almost like a burden, almost like an inconvenience. The other week, I was at the Probe and Pardon Board, and we were doing pardons. And for pardons, everybody comes in person. So there's a mass of people. There's a common hallway that goes to our boardroom and also the waiting rooms to the side. And so you're always people in the hall and everything else. And I rode up on the elevator with people that I knew were coming. They were getting off the fourth floor. I knew they were coming for pardons too. We have both the people seeking pardons and the ones who are opposing them seeking pardons, which gets interesting in the hallways. So you have all that going on, and which is fine. And so I stepped off the elevator. One of our staff persons was standing there. I started talking to her. And this nicely dressed young gentleman stood next to me. And I was just talking to her. I was, you know, the hallway was crowded. Then all of a sudden, the deputy director, who normally, she's a very, very nice young lady. Normally, she's always very nicely dressed. She was in khakis and a blouse with her sidearm and badge on. And she came up to me, put her arm around my shoulder, and pushed me away from the staff person. Right in the middle of what I was saying, I get pushed away. And I'm sort of like, I look at her and sort of like, what are you doing? And the staff person was sort of looking at it. And she whispered in my ear, we've decided to limit contact. In other words, since I'm a board member, this person was standing right next to me. He had not been through the metal detector yet. So she was pushing me away. Now, you know, I'm in my fourth year on the board, so I've never encountered that before. Normally, we just see people in the hallway. It's no big deal. But now they have a new rule that the board members should not have any contact with people in the hallways because they're worried about security, they're worried about safety, and I get that, and I appreciate it very much. But it's a new rule, new regulation, new idea for how to do things. It sort of changes things, doesn't it? We sort of understand the leader of the synagogue, because I bet I'm not alone in the fact that out here are many rule followers that, you know, if the speed limit says 55, we tend to go 55, might go 60, but not anything above that maybe, or maybe not, I don't know. You know, Amory's back there almost laughing, so we don't know. But anyway, so you never know, but most of us are rule followers, and the synagogue leader, the leader of the synagogue, was enforcing one of the rules. He was saying, if you want to be healed, come, but don't come on the Sabbath. That's breaking the rules. Would I have said that? I'm glad I wasn't put in that position. I don't think I would have said that. I don't think any of us would think we would, but it's a rule. It was a very serious rule. It was a very important high rule in the synagogue. And yet, Jesus calls them hypocrites because their hearts are not at the right place. Jesus understands that they are more worried about their rules than the consequences of the people. He said, come on these days. And that is sort of the understanding. God rested on the Sabbath. And so we understand, and we understand the background of it. We understand the implication of it and everything else. Come on those days. Don't come on the Sabbath to be healed. And yet Jesus was pointing out something very, very important. That is that God's grace is never bound. God's grace is never bound by our rules, by our understanding of the rules, by our understanding of what it is to do things the right way and how to follow and how to have order in life. God's grace is never bound by those things, never bound in the least bit. You know, we had farm. It wasn't a big farm, but a small farm. It had pastures. It had a river, the North Saluda River, that formed one boundary for the farm. And the other boundaries were set up with barbed wire fences. So it was barbed wire fences everywhere around. And it wasn't until I was older that I got to thinking, the cows never really came close to the barbed wire fences because they knew better, and so it was never an issue. I sort of wonder sometimes if Dad made sure the barbed wire fence was there to keep us in the pastures instead of going toward the road and going here, there, yonder, and everything else. I wonder if the fences were more for us and the word for anything else. It's sort of like that Robert Frost poem, Mending Fences, where they're there and they're putting the stones back on the fence to make sure that it's just very nicely between them and their neighbor. And the neighbor says, good fences make good neighbors. It's a famous line from that poem. Sort of same sort of understanding. We sort of say, we need order, we need rules, we need regulations. And then God says, that's okay, but I'm not bound to those things. My grace is going to be evident whenever I choose for my grace to be evident. And I'm going to act at those times that we might consider to be inconvenient or we might consider to be not quite right. God says, just watch. And don't be bound by those rules in the midst of that also. The woman was there. And I love this passage because the woman was there. Did it say that she asked to be healed? Did it say that she entreated Christ to heal her and to be there for her? It doesn't say that in the scripture. She was there. She was bent with her affliction. She was there. And Christ saw her, and Christ understood, and Christ responded. You know, in other miracles, the person comes and says, Lord, if you will, I know that you can heal me, or you can heal my daughter, or you can heal the situation, or whatever it is. And Christ a lot of times says, or has said in the past, your faith has made you well. Well, the woman did not say, Lord, I have faith that you can do this. She never demonstrated that. And Christ didn't say, your faith has made you well. It was an outpouring of the love and compassion that Christ had for the woman. She did not have to ask. She did not have to beseech Christ. She did not have to prove that she had faith enough for this to take place. It was almost as though Christ was saying, no faith is necessary. All that's necessary is the compassionate grace of God in the midst of that. I think that many times God responds to us before we even ask, before we even begin the process of asking, that God is already responding to us to needs that we don't even know that we have yet, needs that will be there tomorrow. And God is already preparing us for those things before we've had the time to say, Lord, Lord, I need your help. God's saying, yes, I've been working with you to bring you to this time. I've been working with you to bring you there. I think that this episode with the lady not asking and yet receiving reminds us that we can either follow the rules or we can be open to the Spirit, open to what the Spirit has to say, open to what the Spirit teaches us, open to how the Spirit changes our lives and allows us to be able to change the lives of others as well. And that is terribly, terribly important. She was crippled. She was bent over. But the scripture is very careful to say with a spirit that had crippled her. We understand from Jesus' response that this was, Jesus understood this to be a spirit of Satan that had crippled her. And so he's speaking and he says, you are now free from that so that you can move on. But she had a crippling spirit. I think that's something we all have to ponder from time to time. I think we all have to think about that. It's a part of our Christianity, a part of our faith of the Almighty, ever-knowing, all-present Lord who saves us even though we don't deserve it. That sometimes when it comes to our approach to God, we come to God with very crippled spirits. Crippled spirits saying, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. I believe, but I can't do this, and I don't think we can do this. And I believe we don't come to God and say, Lord, here it is, and I'm here with you, and I'm really, really willing and able to take off and go in the direction you would have me to go. A lot of times we go, yeah, but that's not realistic. That's not reasonable. That's not rational, that's not wise. And God's saying, do it. Do it. See what happens. Of course, Jessica, I hate to point you out again, but when Jessica said she was leaving her very comfortable job, kindergarten teacher, Clinton, South Carolina, to go to Kenya to teach at a school there, receiving no salary, going there as a volunteer. I'm sure I'm not alone in people going, huh? What? You're doing what, where, how, what, where, what, who? And yet we see how God has blessed, how God has blessed her, how God has used Jessica to be a blessing to others. That which to us would have been unreasonable, to God was certainly, go, I'm calling you, I'm pushing you, I'm saying do this. Sometimes we have to answer that call. Sometimes we have to do exactly that. I just found out the other day that, if you remember last year at Christmas, we had a project where we wrote Christmas cards to all the inmates at Perry Correctional Institution, which isn't very far away. And so many of you helped. And we did, I've forgotten the number, 1,200 cards? I'm looking at Bert, like Bert knows the answer. Bert has the answer. Thousands of cards, let's just say that. It was a lot. And so the church did it and signed. We wanted all hand signed. And we want on the front something that would let them know this was from us to them. And so it was personalized. It wasn't just a printed card given. And it was amazing. And it happened. And it was very moving. And people were astounded at it. And found out just the other day that the Response magazine, which is the United Methodist Women's magazine for the world, for the nation, it's called Response, that they have picked up this story. And that they're going to do a full spread on this story, and it's going to have pictures and everything else in it of us doing this marvelous ministry. Now, if you'd told me that our card ministry would go into the national magazine, I would go, wait a minute, there's 12 million United Methodists in the world, and how is our little story about sending cards to prisoners at prison. Oh, I just made Ed smile. I know I did. Yes, yes, yes. I can't believe I said that. At prison. Can you take that out of the tape? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I got a thumbs up. Here, go. Erase that. Where was I? That the prisoners would have received that. If you had told me that would go to national news, as far as United Methodist Women, which is truly international, that I would have said, no way. There's no chance of that. That is not going to happen. But it is happening. God had an intention that would happen. When we think that we have to follow the rules, when we think the rules are there and they protect us, when we say, yeah, but that's not the best approach, that's not the most logical way, that's not the most orderly way, God says, allow me to show you a new and better way. I want us to go to prayer. And I want us, as we're in the spirit of prayer, to ponder for a moment those things that are crippling our spirits, those things that are holding us back, those things that cause us to pause when God says, go. I want us to pray about those things, giving them to God and giving God a chance to speak to us freely. Most gracious God.